the unmerciful servant. This week, our study started with a question. Peter went to the Lord and he asked in Matthew 18:21, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? How did Peter come up with the number seven? Well, some commentaries say that the rabbis had gotten together and come to an agreement that three times was a very holy number. And so that was their requirement for themselves. Three times you would forgive. So maybe Peter knew this and he extended it to seven, thinking he was being extra spiritual. Or maybe he remembered another teaching when Jesus in Luke 17:3 said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Either way, I think Peter felt really good about seven times, and he was expecting the Lord to probably praise him for that. So he was probably surprised at the answer. Verse 22, Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Okay, 490. You all multiplied that out. I think the study did for you if you didn't. 490 makes seven look pretty insignificant. So Peter's little stretch is nothing, right? And I think it's safe to say that Jesus did not intend for them to count every time up to 490. So we can say it's a limitless number. But I also wonder if just by giving that big a number, he wasn't making a point of how ridiculous it would be to count in the first place. Since the disciples were asking, they might not have understood his answer, and certainly for us, Jesus included a parable to explain further. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Sound like familiar words? He would not, but went and threw him into prison till he pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. It's a story of mercy, of compassion, of forgiveness. But it's also a story of judgment and unforgiveness, isn't it? That first servant owed 10,000 talents. Now, one commentary I read said that would be somewhere between $12 million and $1 billion. It's a big spread, but it's a lot of money any way you look at it, isn't it? Basically, Jesus chose an amount that would have been impossible for that servant to pay back. When the king said he would sell him along with his family to pay the debt, that's what they did back then. They would have to sell them, they would sell them into slavery and take the money that they were working off. But the top price for a slave would be maybe one talent. So it still, with all his family and belongings, would not come close to paying the debt. But that servant begged for mercy and promised to pay it all if he'd only be patient. The truth is, no matter how patient that king was, there was no way that servant could have paid his debt. And of course, we know the picture he's giving us, don't we? How many times do we hear of somebody, or maybe we've done it ourselves, we get in a situation that we know we can't get out of alone, and we cry out to God, "Oh Lord, if you will only, then I will." How many times are those followed up? I think that's what this servant was doing, because he seemed to humble himself before this king and beg for mercy. But later we see by his actions, there was no change of heart, was there? His humility was really desperation. For this man to leave the king and go act so unmercifully to the servant who owed him just 100 denarii, which could be paid off, his heart was not changed. And there was no thankfulness or true acknowledgement of the mercy that had been shown him. We can see, and we'll talk more in our groups, about how this picture represents the Lord as the king. And of course, we are that servant who needed forgiveness of a debt that was greater than we could repay. It reminds us how much we were forgiven. And we need, this week, we needed to look more at that forgiveness. What it is, how it affects us. It seems, when we consider all that God has forgiven us, we would not be able to help but to forgive, right? It makes sense in our head, but it's not always the case. So I want to look at a few questions about forgiveness this morning. What is forgiveness? Who needs forgiveness? Why do we not always want to forgive? Why should we forgive? What happens when we don't forgive? And how? How do we forgive? First, what is forgiveness? We looked up some synonyms and antonyms this week. I'm going to share a few of them with you. Synonyms for forgiveness: to grant pardon, absolve, excuse, forget, overlook, bear no malice, let it go. That's what we would say these days, isn't it? Let it go. Wipe the slate clean. The antonyms always help too, I think, because when you see the opposite, it clarifies the meaning. If we do not forgive, instead, we condemn, we accuse, we blame, we sentence, we charge, we punish. That's what forgiveness is not, and what it is. So who needs forgiveness? Anybody who owes another, whether it's a debt or an offense. Who needs forgiveness? Everybody, since all of us at some time or other have offended. We've hurt, whether intentionally or unintentionally, another person. We need forgiveness. Who needs forgiveness? Everyone. Since we're all human, we also take offense. We are offended, and we need to be forgiven. Many times by those who we love the most and are closest to us. If you think about all those little things that happen every day, we have to choose how to react, whether to be angry or forgive. Did you notice this week, since this was on our minds, anything that you actually do keep count of? I did. The word convicts, doesn't it? As mothers, as wives, we do it without even realizing we're doing it. But when that thought comes again, another time, How many times have we all said or thought those things? We're counting. If we count, it's harder to forgive. Who needs forgiveness? Everyone. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We all need forgiveness. Why do we not always want to forgive? Maybe somebody's wronged us and we feel they need to pay for it. It's right. Or they need to learn from it. Or they need to suffer for it. Sometimes we feel justified in our anger because we truly are in the right. Sometimes forgiveness feels weak, like somehow we're letting them get away with it. We're just lying down and letting it happen. That's what the world says often, isn't it? Maybe the other person hasn't apologized or repented. You know, our forgiveness should not be dependent on the other person. Matthew Henry said, it's important to understand that a distinction can and should be made between forgiveness and reconciliation. True reconciliation of a relationship can only happen when both parties are agreeable to it. And this may require repentance on one or both of the parties in the conflict. Yet forgiveness can be one-sided. Sometimes we don't want to forgive, whether we want to admit it or not. It's because in the flesh feels good. That anger, that righteous anger. And we don't want to let go of it in the flesh. Sometimes the person even apologizes, and somehow, some way inside us, we don't want to let it go. The flesh. We certainly haven't asked the Lord to help, have we? But that is why sometimes we don't want to forgive. Lastly, I think, and maybe all of these come down to the same thing, pride. We're right. Why should we forgive? Because the Lord has forgiven us. Bottom line, because we don't see the heart, and we're not called to be the judge and punisher of our fellow man. Luke 6:36 says, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Only God sees the heart and can be a just judge. And it's not our job, is it? Romans 12:19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. We're not supposed to do that. When we don't forgive, we are judging. It's also important to remember, forgiveness does not take away the consequence. It's not our job. But you know there are times when a law is broken. Maybe something's been stolen or there's been an assault on a person. That person needs to forgive. But it doesn't mean the assaulter doesn't need to go to jail and pay the penalty, right? But we get too involved in that penalty part. Our job is the forgiving part. Let me say here, too, that we can forgive an offense. It doesn't mean we have to put ourselves open to the same offense again. If I loan someone money, okay? Let's say we've loaned money to somebody and they don't pay us back. We need to forgive that. But doesn't mean we need to loan them money again, right? We get the wrong idea about forgiveness, I think, sometimes. Another reason why we should forgive, Jesus told us to. He forgave us in such a powerful way, and he tells us to forgive likewise. It's an extension of love, which he also commands us to do. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." Proverbs 10:12, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." And how about 1 Corinthians 13? I thought about it this week, that unforgiveness is definitely not loving, is it? So I went to 1 Corinthians 13 in the NIV. Verse 5 says, "Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged." Sure tells us not to count, doesn't it? All right. Lastly, why? Because God forgave us more than we will ever have to forgive another person. So now what happens when we don't forgive? We know we're supposed to. We also know sometimes we don't. So what happens when we don't? Breaks relationships. Breaks up families. The effect of unforgiveness spreads. It isn't just in us. Gives place to the root of bitterness and resentment in our hearts and in our lives, which harden our hearts to other things. David Guzik says, "We remember the punishment of the unforgiving man in the parable of Jesus. The master delivered him to the torturers. There are many poor souls who are tortured by their own unforgiveness towards others." We think we're punishing them by not forgiving, when in fact we suffer more. Unforgiveness separates us from others and also from God, because it's sin. And sin separates. When we don't forgive, when we don't show mercy, then we're not shown God's mercy and forgiveness, the worst one of all. We need his mercy. I wonder if we realize how many times in a day we receive his mercy and forgiveness for stray words, stray thoughts, small actions. Spurgeon says, "We incur greater wrath by refusing to forgive than by all the rest of our indebtedness." I started thinking about all those little things that God, don't we, "Oh Lord, forgive me." How many times a day do we just pop up that quick prayer? And he does. But do we do that for the people around us? I was thinking about marriage. How many times does a marriage begin to break down because one or both choose not to forgive the little things? If we begin by not forgiving the little things, then we start to count, and it grows into a bigger thing. Unforgiveness hardens our heart. Can you see how a relationship can break down? Unforgiveness destroys us. It destroys relationships. It destroys others. It's not always easy, though, is it? So how do we forgive? We need the Lord. There's nothing in our flesh that is forgiving. We need the Lord's help to truly forgive others. We forgive by remembering all we've been forgiven. We have to let go of our pride. Last week we talked about humility before the Lord. We need to be humble before others too. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, and we're humble before those around us, then it's easier to forgive, remembering they're just like us. They make mistakes. How do we forgive? We have to die to ourselves. It is unselfishness, which doesn't come naturally. We have to put others before ourselves if we want to forgive. We have to love one another. It comes down to love, doesn't it? I thought this week of this saying, you know, we learn as kids, do unto others as we would have them do unto us. You know, that is scripture. Luke 6:31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. We want to be forgiven. We need to forgive. It's not natural, but it's possible in the Lord, and it's absolutely necessary. We're not to wait for the other to repent. As I said before, forgiveness can definitely be one-sided and often is. We have to let go of our hard feelings toward the other one, whether or not they apologize. We also can't wait for our feelings to change. So oftentimes they won't change until we take it to the Lord and ask Him to change our heart. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. We have to choose to forgive, and the feelings will follow. A great way to begin forgiving when it's really hard, because when we're hurt, it's hard. Those are real feelings, and the enemy will bring them up when it's really hard to forgive. A good way to start, of course, after asking the Lord to help, is to pray for the other person. How do I pray for that person who has hurt me so dearly? I have to. It's the only way. Remember, we talked about prayer and how prayer is a place where we come to the Lord and open our heart in a way that it can be changed. If we come to the Lord and ask Him to change our heart and help us to pray for that person, our heart changes. But it's a choice. We have to make that choice and go to Him. And it's not magic. Sometimes it comes back, that feeling, and we have to go to the Lord and give it to Him again. But we do because we know it's what we need to do. We know it's what the Lord would do. The real key to truly understand how much, the real key to truly forgive is to remember and understand how much we've been forgiven. You know, Jesus is our example. On the cross, do you remember His prayer of forgiveness? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What an example. God is our example. I want to end by reading Psalm 103. 103, starting at verse 11. This is a picture to me of God's heart and the heart He wants us to have. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Aren't you glad He remembers we are dust and is merciful? Let's ask Him to help us to see others the way He sees us. They're but dust. They don't know what they're doing. And love them and forgive them. Let's pray. Lord, this is a hard subject because forgiveness is hard sometimes. But even in worship today, as we praised You and Your holiness reminds us that a holy God who never needed to be forgiven for anything and yet was willing to forgive us Lord, we need you. We need your help in this. I pray that this week, as we've been looking into the Word, and it comes back to us as we walk through this next week, I pray that you would show us those areas that we are holding unforgiveness against another. And help us to let it go. Teach us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, how to love like you love. Forgive as you forgive. We thank you for your Word that reveals these things to us, and for your Holy Spirit that works in and teaches us. Lord, change our hearts. Any hard place that you see because of unforgiveness, Lord, show us how to soften it. Let your Holy Spirit do the work. And Lord, we will give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.